When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Welcome back to More To It, the show that takes a deep dive into the biggest stories in sports, entertainment, and culture. Start with headline news and then journey to deeper conversations. Always finding those life lessons that are presented in every single story. I'm your host, Marcel Swally. That dude, BetUS, got to get that out the way. Go to WileyWins.com right now, homie. WileyWins.com right now, boy. And get your sign-up bonus. I got 125%. I'm putting down more than you put down. Just because I know I'm going to beat you down in this week's picks, NFL Week 7. All right, put mine in. Y'all can see them. Go to yesterday's episode, and we're going to compete. So if you go to WileyWins.com right now, go against me. I dare you to pick more winners than I did this week. And if you do, well, I'm going to hook you up. I'm going to hook you up with this right here. I'm going to hook you up with this right here. I'm going to tag this one, sign them both. Hook you up if you beat me, you lucky winners out there. Some of y'all. Good luck to y'all knowing more football than me, boy. We're going to see this week. Go to WileyWins.com and let's have some fun. All right, y'all. Y'all know how we start off every show. Well, what's up with that dude? Well, let me tell y'all. Yesterday, I had a day. One, my daughter, Araya, my four-year-old superstar right there. Oh, man, I thought she was going to be a demon when she was like two or three. We were like, yo, she is not mean. She might be evil. She was just, ooh, just walked around straight gangster Mac everywhere she went. Whoa, like just deboing everything, for real. And then she just hit a 180. She the sweetest little thing. Well, she ain't little. She gigantic, actually. She's our only one that is like 100. I think I saw 100 or 101%. Certainly 100%. She's gigantic. But she's a sweet little girl. She was sick yesterday, so you know how it goes. Same thing. My dummy. So she had a temperature, brought her home from school a couple of days ago. She couldn't go back and return yesterday. Fine. And as soon as my wife takes off with my little one, my Olivia, three-year-old, and MJ, eight, she feel a little better. soon the Tesla go like this, she like, look at me, daddy, let's have a day. So she ended up camping out in the studio, camping out wherever I was, right? Literally, she was here during the show and stuff, watching Bluey, watching Gabby's Dollhouse, chilling, eating Ritz. I was like, this girl out here living. She wanted a bunch of candy. I stopped her there. I said, no, you ain't gonna have candy. But it's just so crazy because I used to be the same way. Mama, I can't go to school today. And she'd be like, boy, you better go to school. Mama, I can't for real. I'm really sick. All right, stay home. Now, this back in the day when my mama wasn't working and working. Either way, I'm home by myself, right? Soon as they leave that house, all of a sudden, I feel good. I wasn't even trying to fake it. It's just like, when y'all gone, I'm all right. It's crazy. They just want to get out that routine, I think, sometimes. All right, other than that, regular old pick them up and stuff from school. Football practice yesterday. Now, I'm really trying to rig it. I'm warning all you coaches out there. This is my PSA to y'all. Allow me to reintroduce myself. Phil Belichick, I am trying to rig this game for my team so we can win the championship. We have enough qualifying talent to win it. I was doubting that for a second here or there, but we got enough. Here's the thing. They need Belichick. I got a coach because we're the youngest team in our division. Now, I'm trying not to rest on this fact that we have seven more seasons in this same division. This is our first of eight. So kind of thinking like, yo, we that good already? Oh, yeah. When we old, because we're young. We're young 8-year-olds playing against some young 10-year-olds. And I'm like, damn it. But I want to win it right now because that means I'm coaching right now because I'm getting the most out of them, all the toothpaste out the tube. So we're going to see. I got some plays drawn up. Yesterday, if this play worked, it's cracking. But we'll see how it plays this Sunday. Other than that, did y'all watch me, because I didn't, on Celebrity Wheel of Fortune? All right, a lot of people were hitting me. A lot of people were hitting me up, and it was love. I'll tell y'all what I was really doing a little bit later. But let me just tell you about that experience. Dog, I ain't gonna lie. You know, it's some things in everybody's world that you do, and you like, that's different. Like, you just out-of-body experience almost, you know? And for me, going there, and obviously there's three things you think about when you think of Wheel of Fortune. For me, it's the wheel, Vanna, and Pat. And I was like, man, I'm going to meet Vanna White. I'm going to meet Pat Sajak, and I'm going to see that big-ass wheel. Well, let me tell you one thing. That wheel ain't that big. And y'all already know, Vanna and Pat are the sweetest people in the world, and they ain't that big either. They were hilarious. They kept saying, dang, y'all big. We were like, they were super cool. You would think that doing that show for as many years as they've done it, 30, 40 years, whatever, that there would be some fatigue to like how they got down. Bruh, for real tilting. And shout out to Maggie, Pat Sajak's daughter, who's amazing too as well, part of the whole establishment as well. I was just like, wow. And then, you know, you think when you're at home watching, you're like, that wheel is huge and they be struggling to spin it. I was in there like, yo, don't break this wheel. Every time I spin, I was like, don't break the wheel. They even clowned me a couple times. I don't know. I didn't see the episode yet, so I don't know if it was on air or not. They're like, you're going to break the wheel, dog. Like, calm down. It was fun. I'm not going to do any spoiler alerts. If you didn't see it, check it out. I have to check it out tonight. And the reason I didn't check it out, because I had date night last night. Ain't that crazy? That lets y'all know we're not Hollywood around here, even though we were in Beverly Hills. Let me start. We're not Hollywood, man. I know I was coming on and stuff, and I was like, dang, I got to watch it. And then we were like, but we got to check in on each other, too. My wife got a lot of stuff on her plate coming up. She has a BravoCon. BravoCon. That sounds like some damn war. But she got BravoCon, all these engagements and parties and panels, all in Vegas. So I'm going out there to Vegas. I'm a guest of hers in Vegas as she's on the panels, and I'm one of her VIP guests. Like, I'm her plus one. It's so dope. I'd be like, damn, this is crazy. And she's got a lot on her plate, so I'm just there as her soundboard and help her digest it all. We had a great dinner. Boy, I had a bourbon drink that was red. Red. I mean, like Kool-Aid red. Oh, it was so good. Oh, and it came with a clothes hanger on it. With a like a mandarin orange or something. Like, what the hell? Like, I didn't even want to look how much it cost. So I was like, God, this thing, I could go to the washer and dryer and hook up this drink, get faded up the laundromat with this drink. I got a clothes hanger? Oh, I pounded like 4-5 of them things. Loving life. Ate the bread, shouldn't ate the bread. The bread ain't that good where we went. We went to Steak 48, love that spot. It's so beautiful, beautiful. Some crab legs, had some crab legs. And we had a ribeye. Boneless ribeye. We got to get out the marble steaks. I don't need no more fat. filet for me going forward. So we had a great time. And guess what I told my wife? something that I just read recently, and it got her, kind of shook her up a little bit, a little tear up a little bit. I said, baby, I looked at her like this. I said, I see you. She's like, I said, I see you. I get you. And I got you. Nothing happened last night. Nope, came back. She was supposed to come downstairs. We were supposed to watch Wheel of Fortune. She passed out with the babies. I ended up going upstairs sleeping with the little itty bitty. That's life. I wasted my line. I wasted my one line on a gun. Didn't give me none of that love, God. Boy, I never mind. See. All right, this show is powered by you and powered by Project Transition. Go to projecttransition.org. Leave a donation. Support. Like you guys are doing out there right now. Shout out to the Lindzen family. I saw it hit. Shout out to the Wilforts and the Magnus is. So Magni. Oh, love to you guys as you support the foundation. All right, let's get to the show, Wiley. Let's go. Let's go. All right, let's talk about Mike Wilbon. Wilbon. Mike Will made it. Yes. Well, he doubled down on his criticism because he'd been in a war of words recently about the WNBA finals experience at the Barclays Center out there in Brooklyn, homie. All right. So not only did he have initial criticism, but he was like, oh, you ain't kiss that? Double down on that thing right there like he playing blackjack. Okay. So let's talk about what's happening right now in WNBA finals. The Liberty faithful actually showed up, at least in body form and presence. They had a WNBA gate receipt record of 17,143 fans at Barclays for the game three. All right, so then Wilbon criticized the crowd as, quote, barely awake, sparking a back and forth with the Liberty and the Nets owner, Joe Tsai. And also, Mikal Bridges went in there because he's like, hey, if my owner beefing, then you know I beef with you too. Guess what? He gonna like me more. Here's that Apple teacher, whatever it may be. But he had some great points to make. So Wilbon was pivoting, and he also said he wasn't talking about the arena more. He was talking about the arena, I should say, more than the people. We're gonna get y'all the sound. All right. So now they're in the back and forth talking about you talking about the arena, but you talking about the people, but you ain't talking about neither one. And the articles were saying basically, Wilbon, what you saying is verifiably false. That's another way of saying you lying. And you made no reference to Barclays Center itself in your original comments. Okay, so I'm going to let y'all hear this sound right now of Wilbon doubling down on this Barclays Center WNBA crowd. Check this out.
Yes, Tony, they finally showed up in Brooklyn. Let me just say this to Joe Tsai, who tweeted at me yesterday. Let's be clear about something. I didn't criticize your league or your fan base or even your team. I criticized your building, which is awful. Dark, quiet, and awful. So let's be straight about that so you and your minions don't confuse it. The Liberty bounced back well yesterday. This is now a series. And don't think, oh, let's invite Wilbon to his first WNBA game. I was a season ticket holder before you knew where the league was. Let's get all that straight.
So wait, look, can I just ask one question?
Yeah.
The place is a dump, you're saying?
No,
it's a dump?
No, it's dark and it's quiet and it's not Vegas. Okay. It's not one of the top places you go to get fired up and amped up for your team. It's not.
We move on.
Okay, now, Wilbon addressed Joe Tsai, right? You heard the sound, saying he didn't criticize your fan base or even your team. I criticized your building, which is awful. Kind of recently built, but awful. All right. Dark, quiet, and awful. Y'all heard him. So let's be straight about that so you and your minions don't confuse it. Ooh. Don't know why he's so spicy on this one right here. Especially when there are receipts and records that says, is that an accurate portrayal of it, right? Because even Mikal Bridges was like, just admit you were wrong, quote. It's okay. Laugh out loud. No need to lie. Okay. I'm with Wilbon in this respect. Because he went to the game. He was like, yo, it wasn't much energy in there. The place doesn't look that fresh, etc. That's what he basically saying. Well, there are good and bad players, so let's talk about good and bad arenas, because that does exist. I have not been to Barclays yet. Have you? And if so, beat it up in the comments right now. Tell me, does Barclays suck? Because even if it's new, doesn't mean it's fresh. And we're going to discuss a little bit of that. Not going to really get into the back and forth. I think Milbon was talking about the fans, the people. And then he tried to say, no, I was talking about the arena. Because you don't want to piss off the fans. Concrete can't get mad at you. The wood ain't tripping. You know what I mean? But them fans be like, what? But then he was like, he went at the minions too. So I'm like, maybe Wilbon just don't give a damn. Too big to fail. Let's see about that. Who cares? He keeping it real. All right. So I start thinking like, damn, would I ever got in trouble like this? Or, you know, in the firestorm world words. Because the old Oakland Coliseum was a dump. A straight dump. We were like, you get off the bus and you go up in there and you're like, especially if you go early season. Oh, you're like, why they baseball dirt? This third base or this the 30-yard line? What the hell is this? Just mess. Then the locker room, you literally, I'm not lying to y'all, had to duck to get in the locker room. For real. You couldn't walk in straight up like, oh yeah, good game. Blah, blah, blah. They had to go like this. Good game. Then you got in there, and, crows and vultures flying out. Old lockers, like I swear they were like metal. Old metal ones, like high school, you know, one of those. Friday Night Lights lockers. You're like, what the fuck? So, looking around, you're like, where the bathroom? You're like, you right here. Lego? Outhouse looking ass locker room. Man, it was bad. That, and I'm not going to lie, Qualcomm, Charger Stadium, where we were. That's why they left after 20 years of complaining about the damn stadium. Couldn't work out a deal. Not getting into the politics because I don't know the details. But I just know they were crying about it. Like, dog, can we get a new stadium? And I remember one time it rained. And you know how when it rains and you got the overhead. So if you in like Concourse 100 or whatever, you like, all right, 200 is like, thank God for 300, right? And 300 just stuck. You said, sorry, all right? But if you're in the 100 section, you're looking at 200 over here, and you're like, we good. And I remember I had my family sitting there. They were 50-yard line, 17th row seats. And they were just sitting there, gangster Mac, just mobbing, steady mobbing, right? Deep. And it rained one game. And they had that overhang, and they thought they were Gucci. They thought they were good. It was leaking through the damn concrete on everybody in their seats. And I was sitting there. I remember I was playing like, that ain't it. Now I get why y'all complain about this stadium. And we had the same thing. The 30-yard line was third base early in the season, too. It was weird. Kind of crazy, right? Now, let me tell you the best stadium there is. I don't care what y'all build and design that I played in. Okay, there's only one stadium on tier one. And that's Arrowhead Stadium. That's sucker there. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I don't know. I ain't been in a few years. But, boy, that's an experience. y'all. First of all, they all got this on. They all got it on. They all represent. And second of all, the energy. Third, it's the loudest stadium. Four, the barbecue's in the air. The smoke's in the air. Oh, man. They got charcoal out there, baby. No gas, baby. Oh, no electric. Just straight coal going. Oh, the energy and just the red is just, it's loud, it's crazy. Great surface, everything. Love me some Arrowhead. All right, best stadium to go to as a fan, to me, obviously, is SoFi. SoFi is so pretty. I always say this, and I'm going to stop thinking it. It's pristine. It almost like you actually, you ever go to a stadium, you go at the game, I don't know what it could be, your food, your hot dog, it's spill on the ground, it's dropping on the ground. You never, ever going to eat something off the ground at a stadium, right? Matter of fact, you shouldn't even be wearing your best shoes. You'd be like, I'm going to wear these shoes, they fresh, but not my best. Hell nah, dirty, right? I swear, SoFi, it feel like if you drop your food, you're going to just pick it up. 5-second rule, baby. God ain't tripping. I mean, everything looks immaculate, and there are levels to it. Let me give you the bottom level of SoFi. The bottom level of SoFi is you just walk straight in. It's a gang of concourses doing all this, all like open. You can see it all, even though it has the roof. Everyone's like, why does it have the roof? It's for advertising. The roof at night, they can show different designs and graphics and logos, et cetera. And over 30 some million people fly over for LAX. So Kroenke making money off the ad space on top of the roof. That's why they have a roof. No other reason, y'all. All right, so had to break that down because people be like, man, this stupid L.A. got a roof and they ain't got a roof in Foxborough and stuff. I was like, well, y'all should have thought about that and be by our airport. So
That's why they had that. But the worst experience is Fresh. Got the food right there, concession stands everywhere, all open. Even the 700 level up there, bird's eye view, I feel like. The best is, so I've been there, the owner's suite, obviously. There's two owner's suites, both sides, Rams and the Chargers. I've been to both. Their suites are so massive, it's like a whole section. But it's indoor and it's a suite. And you walk in, you be like, am I in the suite? And you're like, no, you're just like in the lobby of the suite. Then you walk into the suite, you're like, am I in the suite? And they're like, nah, this is just like the food section. Then it's the drink section. Then it's the seat section. And then you look out, you're like, we just took up half the stadium, right? It's crazy. They valet right there. Like you, right here. And then you walk past some lobster and crab stuff. Then you walk into the owner's suite. It's crazy. I don't sit there, y'all. Those ain't my seats. Hell no. Woo! Those got to cost him. He get them free because he's the owner, but God dang. I know if he ever slung one of them tickets, try to slang them, it's going to cost. It's insane. But the best part is the valet. Then you just walk right there. Bam, you in the suite. Everybody else, hour of traffic. Hey, come on, man. Go Chargers. You're in traffic for an hour trying to park. It's crazy. So that's the dopest. I need y'all to beat this up in the comments before I ask y'all some other questions. Please tell me how the Raider Stadium is. Haven't been yet. I'm thinking about going Charger Raider game, but tell me that one. And tell me about Jerry's World. One time, I'm not going to lie, I had an event in Dallas, and I was there. And I was like, damn, I can't go to the game, but there's the stadium. So I drove around it. And I was going to go as close as I could, but I was like, I ain't play as well as I could for the Cowboys. I'm going to get there. Somebody going to be like, boo! Jerry, there you go. Get your money back. Like right there. I'm clowning, but I ain't go. I was like, don't tailgate with these Cowboys fans. They may even still be mad at you. Wait till they win a Super Bowl again. Then to go over there. I'm like, yeah, we did it. And they were like, yeah, all right, boy. Move your butt around. So I need y'all to beat it up in the comments. Let me know how the Raider Stadium is and how the Cowboys Stadium is. Because so far by itself right now. All right. So tell me what y'all thought about Wilbon as well. Like, you're like, dog. A little grumpy on this one right here. Or you like, no, I've been to Barclays. It is dark. It is quiet. It is whack, what Wilbon was basically saying. I just don't know why he was kind of, I wasn't talking about them. I was talking about it. I wasn't talking about it. I was talking about them. It's like, why that part is the only other thing. And what you thinking about the WNBA setting some records right here? ESPN and everybody leaning into it and the coverage, et cetera. It's getting there. It's trying. Oof. It's trying. Just tell me the state of affairs for the WNBA. And are you guys watching the finals? Y'all don't know this one yet, huh? And he was like, cash money, rich. Loud pipes, big rims, homie. That's my life. Whoa, what else he say? When I pull up at the club, sorry, that's my night. And then at the end, we on fire. Woo. Woo. When Juvie put that on that album. And when Lil Wayne. That pipe, big man, hubby, that. Oh, all responsibilities in my life went out the door. I was the most irresponsible individual living when this song used to come on. Because all I used to do. That's when flossing was a thing, man. I'm talking about, because, you know, this Crenshaw on Sundays, I used to. Woo, it'd be crazy. Girls would be like, what's up? What's up? Be like, yeah, what's up? No, her too. That was life back then. You'd just be riding at the red light. I remember we got these girls into a car accident one time because we stopped at a light. They were hot. My boy was in, we was in a Z, a 300Z or 280, maybe 280, one of them. And He light skin, green eyes. They looking, oh! And then I was kind of leaning back right here doing something with the tapes. We were putting our tapes in, CDs or whatever. And he was like, and she, oh, and a dark one too. I swear she said this. She was like, oh, and a dark one too. And I look like Jordan because I was like 100 pounds less. Oh, you look like Jordan, girl. And then I'm not lying. For some reason, they hit the gas. Why they hit the gas? And boom, hit another car. I'm like, we ain't that cute, girl. You should have calmed down. All that love, man. Y'all know this show. Never Shut Up, projecttransition.org. You get this book right here if you support the foundation. Let's support what Bill Simmons is talking about right now. We know who he is. He's the founder of The Ringer, old school ESPN. Back in the days when I was over there, old school ESPN. And he was talking about the state of podcasting of the industry. Basically all of it, the past, present, future. And he was optimistic about podcasting in his future and talking about how the new era is going to have different challenges. The deals are looking different and it's evolving. The standards of success are changing as well. Emphasizing that having a podcast, hey, stop being lazy. You just can't be famous and have a podcast and it's going to work for you. It's certain quality standards now. And you're going to have to commit to it for real. And I think there was a mindset with podcasts. Like, oh, just stay at home or just go anywhere and just talk for an hour. It'll work. Have y'all seen some of the numbers? Bill Simmons don't like talking to his numbers. That lets you know he's doing a lot. And he's doing well at it. Because every time they pressed him in this interview, it was about 23 minutes, he would not give numbers. This is one issue I do have. I get where he's coming from. He don't want to sound braggadocious. He don't want to sound like, well, two things, I think. One, he doesn't want to sound braggadocious because there are great numbers. But two, we don't know the exact numbers. So maybe he's like, I want them to think and imagine even more than I'm actually getting. That's another way you play it. But I'm a former athlete where you remember that girl like, oh, you look like Jordan, girl. Remember them? They used to open up the USA Today and see how much I made. See how much every single player made. I remember every year there was one publication that put everyone's salary out there. And crazy enough, it didn't always get it right. This is before websites, I guess, and all that. Spot Rack and all that. But it used to, like, do it. And I used to look. And I'm like, that ain't, I'm getting a little more than that. But, hey, it's kind of close. But I have grown to always talk about how much I make. I don't care. Really why I talk about it is not to brag, it's to help somebody else make more. So I'm in this industry right now, sports media, you know, ESPN, Fox, NFL Network, Brinks TV, etc., right? And people call me, I protect the guilty, people call me still to this day. I had a call this weekend, he know he is, contract up. Hey, Wiley, heard you on your podcast, know you keep it real. How much were you making? How'd you get that? What can I do? This is what I'm getting. And we broke bread. And I said, I hate that this industry is, we don't know exactly, or we don't just talk about how much we make. You know why? Because they use that against you. You can even have the same agent. And some agents are like, nah, I can't tell what my client over here makes. Like, fool, you represent both of us. You better tell me what he make. I'm going to use him as a comp to get more. Anyway, so I saw that with Bill Simmons not going there on his numbers. But he's going there in terms of what you need to do to get those numbers, the commitment, the quality, the standards, et cetera. All right. So he says success isn't measured by audience size solely, but by the uniqueness and value of podcasts offers within a crowded market. All right. I respect that. And he believes that the more podcasts that emerge, the larger trusted shows will still see growth because people gravitate toward what they know and trust in a sea of choices. So basically, everybody's always scared. Oh my God, there's so many podcasts. There are too many podcasts. How do I break through? Well, you can still break through because, like, you're just going to have something that people want, or you're going to have to be a name that already commands audience, right? Being real. So that example of, like, oh my God, too many podcasts, I shouldn't do it. Well, if you're somebody that people want and they trust, they're going to come to you. They're going to find it. It's like water. Water finds its way. You want something, you're going to find your way. That's why I always say in this world, you always win. Just choose the right things to participate in because you always win. You're going to fight for what you want, good or bad. Remember that. So to increase the number of podcasts can actually benefit larger established shows by providing familiarity and trust to listeners. So he kind of summed all that up. Break down Bill Simmons. All right. Let me talk about podcasting, because podcasting to me is still a tough word for me to say. I say radio or I say show. But really, to me, this is just like radio with a camera. And I swear I used to do radio with Max and I all the time. We used to always say, why don't we just throw a camera in here? And people used to always say, y'all act so crazy. People don't know what we... They thought the show was crazy what we were doing. Travis, Kelvin, Max, etc. Y'all should have seen what we were doing in there. Because y'all know me. I got my pee bottle somewhere. Let me stop. Basically, I mean, radio, you just... Sometimes you want the mic right here and I'm leaning over there. We clowning. Like, you're not structured and formal like you are on television. So let me just start off by saying the best thing I love about a podcast, this, is the intimacy and the authenticity. Y'all call it the freedom, but you're free up there. You're free to do what you're going to do. You're just not going to get rewarded for everything you do. Here, whatever you do, you're going to get rewarded because it's you. Ain't no bosses. Ain't no decision makers. Like,
no. You know that segment yesterday at 18 minutes, Marshall.
Don't do that again. Shut up. You know what I mean? So that I used to hate two things. One, most producers are young, out of like college, real bright eyed. Most of the dirty work is done by them. And then they got a boss, like the CP or something, coordinating producer on the show. Now that person's in their mid-30s, probably older. And they ain't checking on the show every time, but they overseeing the show. So you usually working with some little dude or girl who just, and they trying to figure it out, but they take a simple, safe approach because they want to keep their job and move up the ladder. So basically, they going to feed you exactly what you already see out there. That's why these shows become redundant, is because the person doing a lot of the legwork is somebody like, Cowboys, you hear what happened to Dak? And you're like, yeah, everybody heard what happened to Dak. What else you got? Did you see what Jerry Jones said about what happened to Dak? Dang, did you do anything else? So that's how that game go, right? But radio was special to me because you didn't have that kind of dynamic, right? One, you ain't trying to present yourself. You're just talking. Two, they ain't tripping. It's 4 hours, whatever it may be, a radio show. Ain't nobody listening to all of that. Nobody. Average time spent listening usually was like 15 minutes or something. So nobody listening to the whole thing. But it was just different than TV. TV, my TV fans always be like this. Oh, Marcellus, what's up, man? Let's get a pic. What's up? Oh, boy, you be out there. You be saying some stuff, man. You crazy. And then your radio fans be like, yo, so what's up with MJ? What are you doing? Is he going to go there or not? And they'll be like, damn, layered deeper. Because you right here. Think about it. Right here. Going right here. TV is here. And you doing this. And we doing that. And the TV sound is off half the time. Be real. Background noise, or if it's on background, so it's not as intimate. The connection is completely different. That's the best thing about podcasting. The worst thing about podcasting, when I watch others, is when they don't respect it like it's a real craft, like it's a real business, it's a real sport. You know, they just be like, "I'm talking, whatever." I'm like, "Dog, you gotta talk. You gotta talk that talk, right? Everything you do, you gotta do that too. Not just be saying I did it." Nah, do it. It's a big difference. I love it. I love this. I love just talking through stuff. And it's funny because when you're doing it for there, it's like we're doing it and we're picking certain things to get it done. Here, you pick whatever and see what happens. And that's what Bill Simmons was talking about. Like, don't always go by audience, and they're super successful. Go by also your passion points. Are you hitting some pain pockets out there? Like, are you satisfying people's needs? I see some of the comments. I saw a comment recently, yesterday or today, this morning. Somebody was like, look, you're just inspiring me, bro. That's enough. Like, that's it. And I was like, damn, for real. They're kind of trying to sit me down. I think it's in Funk of my comments. I'll read it to you guys literally. But I'm just excited. The success, we started in February. Started a YouTube channel a year ago thinking like, I know I need to do something on YouTube. Let me open up one, log in. Okay, that dude. I put up like one picture of Araya running or something and like MJ combing his hair. That was it. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. I can't lie. And then in February this year, started The Daily Show, and we're over 130,000 subscribers already. And, it were growing in like 8 months, a little over 8 months. Silly. And being real, man, I've seen a lot of people, big names. Y'all can do your own research. I protect the guilty. I knew some big names that had podcasts. Big names that were doing them for years. And a couple of them were like at 20,000 subscribers. Big names, for real big names. Household names. And I was like, damn, it's that hard? And it is hard because you got to be consistent. But you can break through. You know, I feel I've broken through. I feel like this is love. And so you just got to do what you got to do. We got sponsors now. You know, BetUS is just one of them. That's our major one. Brinks, our valuation's going up, all this stuff. So what he was talking about is the state of podcasts, and he's still bullish on it. I'm bullish on it as well as I put my interest in it. I put my time and investment in it. Hey, I'm out here grinding forward. So what do y'all feel about the state of podcasts? Still bullish on it? Are you like, hey, I don't know. It's too many of them. I just can't. I love it. I love it. One thing he said, too, he's like, look, the athlete podcasts are interesting. No one listens to them. He's like, I don't listen to them, but I always see their social media clips, and they're amazing. It's funny that I wouldn't say that about athlete podcasts. It's just I consume more clips than I do actual podcasts. The actual podcasts I listen to, let me give it to you. Kwame Brown, Carcino for Life, Dreamers Pro. Love that one. That's my go-to. It's a bunch of them, but those are the ones I feel like in my my quick Fearless, Jason Whitlock, except when they get a little too religified. I'm like, come on, man. I'm like, God dang. I'm like, I love God, but you know, y'all gotta be nice. It's other ways up the mountain to the Lord as well. So that's the only one, only little critique I have of that. But y'all tell me. Are podcast success measured by what they're addressing, like what the genre is, what the topics are, or is it just strictly audience? What do you guys think about it? Because Bill Simmons was like, I don't care about the audience and wouldn't give no numbers. I was like, yeah, but that audience pays them bills, Bill. So pays them bills, Bill. Boy, I still got it. So you better chill on that one. And do you agree with Bill's take in terms of the state of podcast? Let me know what y'all feeling about all this. Let me know what you feel about this show. Beat my show up. Beat me up in the comments. I can take a hit. Don't y'all be mean. Nah, have some fun with it, guys. How come when you used to ride bikes when you were little, you used to go like this? If I was running and I ran like this, some people do run like that. I'm not going as fast as I can. So why do we think a bike gonna go that fast if we doing this? Remember we used to do that? Like, I'm gonna catch you, fool. I'm gonna catch you, fool. Ding 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 ding. I was a fiend before I became a teen. I melted microphones instead of cones and ice cream. ProjectTransition.org, ProjectTransition.org. Leave a donation, recurring donation. I will give you that book. The Book of Rhymes that Rakim must have. Golly. I mean, like, for real, let me just get this out the way. Who a better rapper than Rakim? Like, for real, like, stop playing, dog. Like, Big Daddy Kane right there, Ice Cube with the Jerry Curl, Andre 3000, Lil Wayne. I know I'm for him. I want to say Eminem, but I ain't going to lie. He ain't playing the sport the right way. I'm like, come on, man. Like, just keep it simple. Go back to M. Go back to, hi, my name, what? Like, what happened? I can't even keep up what you're saying. And when I do, like he, I ain't gonna say that yet. I ain't gonna say it yet. But let's just say without doing more, he's dropped in my rankings, even though I think at the combines, he's the best rapper. Eminem, like put them all through the drills. Lil Wayne and him, yep. That'll be my combine rappers. But then Lil Wayne just get on the field and destroy him. Because Eminem, what you talking about? All right, anyway, let's talk about Michael Parsons. What are you talking about? Ooh, he mad them cowboy haters out there. Why you wanna play a hate on me? Oh, that loonies right there. Ah, so we know who he is, all pro linebacker, making a name for himself on the field and in the podcast booth. Yes, he is going in on the podcast he has on Bleacher Report called The Edge. Ooh. You know, somebody was sitting there marketing. We got Michael Parsons. Oh, big deal. We got him. Bleacher Report. Yes, us. All right, what should we call it? the edge. Oh, man, that was pretty good, pretty good. So he's been vocal about a lot of topics. Every Monday he has the show and he breaks down the week of the NFL and he leans into the Cowboys and lets people know what he thinks. All right, that includes criticizing media figures for bashing his quarterback, Dak Prescott. And Dak didn't have a bad game this week. Don't do that to Dak. Herbert had a bad game, but not bad numbers. But for Herbert standards, that wasn't a good game for him. But Dak didn't play bad. Look, you can't be running Dak like that. Dak scoring running touchdowns like that and running for the scrambles, just trying to open up. That's not a repeatable, successful offense. That's not a reliable offense if you're the coordinator. If you're Mike McCarthy, you're like, that ain't our formula for success to win that way. But Dak going to have to air that thing out with full confidence. We know that. But Michael Parsons is emphasizing the unequal, let's be real, off-balance standards that are applied to the Cowboys compared to other teams. And he just asked for more consistency in the media coverage. He calls for fair treatment while he's frustrated with the negative media attention on the Cowboys. Always constantly. It's pointed out that while players like Parsons can express their grievances, they're still contractually obligated to speak with the media. And one doesn't replace the other because he starts saying, look, I ain't even speak to the media this week, but he did his podcast. So that's where that came in. Now, stop listening to me. Listen to Michael Parsons talk about everything Cowboys, especially the criticism of Dak Prescott, and even called out my former co-host, Emmanuel Acho. Let's go.
I just don't condone the bashing of Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys and have the same energy for the Eagles. We want the same energy for everybody because there's a whole bunch of bashing when it's Dak Prescott, but not the same when it's the Eagles. I got time today. A lot of people said the Browns defense was overhyped. I said the Browns are the real deal. Acho said this, which pissed me off. I'm not worried about the 49ers. They were missing Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel. The Browns were missing Deshaun Watson, Nick Chubb. They were missing them key factors before the game even started. So why is it that we are just scrubs and we're nobodies that don't deserve to be on the field and we're just all talk? But there's 100 excuses for these other teams. If y'all just want to hate Cowboys Nation, just say y'all hate Cowboys Nation. I'm tired of people trashing my quarterback. I'm tired of people trashing my team. And that's why I had nothing to say to the media this week. You want to hear me talk? Come to hear me talk on The Edge Monday night. And that's point blank period.
Dang, interesting. He got receipts. boy, Bleacher Report supporting that podcast right there. Good job for you, Micah, man. Look, let me just break this down for Micah and all those interested. We know the Dallas Cowboys are clickbait. As they say over, like on YouTube and online, clickbait, clickbait, you're just trying to get me to look. First of all, it's the dumbest thing ever. Like, no, I posted it so you won't look. Wheel of Fortune. I'm on Wheel of Fortune tonight. Please don't look. Don't watch it. Wheel of Fortune putting out promo after promo of me, Jared Allen, Rashad Jennings. Oh, please don't watch. Why is that not clickbait? It's clickbait. Everything is talking about an event or a person. Nouns, person, places, and things. That's you get paid talking about nouns, basically, right? So come on, y'all. All right. Anyway, so the Dallas Cowboys are clickbait. We watch them, and I'm going to tell you why they're clickbait. So I don't think a lot of people go there. Well, a lot of people are not in the media and play for the Cowboys. Let me stop. All right, I'm going to be real. This might hurt a little bit because my daddy a big Cowboys fan, big Cowboys fan. My dad used to levitate when the Cowboys came on. I'm talking about going back, Tony Dorsett days. And you know my daddy, a man of few words, all he says, all right. So he's sitting there, he's like, oh. Touchdown, all right. Yeah, that's it. I'm like, he ain't got no more words. Vocab slim, right? So the Dallas Cowboys, and I've noticed it from him watching it. My dad used to watch in the 80s with me. He didn't poison the well. He let me pick my team. But I used to watch. I'm like, my daddy never gets hyper in life other than when the Cowboys are balling and winning. For real. Even my touchdowns. I go to my game Saturday, Sunday, 5 touchdowns. My dad be like, all right, good job. All right. Cowboys, all right. He louder, all right. I saw the fan base from hello, like in the 80s for me. And then I saw them win those championships, and they were insufferable. Like, oh, my God. All right, all right. Well, they went 3 or 4 or something. So, and then Jerry's the man, then he fires a Jimmy Johnson. I shouldn't have done that. But still win one without him. So you're like, shoot, what you say? And all that. The Cowboys haven't won a Super Bowl since then. And we know the playoff woes, and we know the fumble. I was there when Romo fumbled the snap for the extra point and all that. I got y'all. They have the largest sensitive fan base that exists in the NFL. Probably all sports, at least over here, major sports. Yeah, I would say sensitive, yeah. Sensitive in this way. They're almost like the old prom queen, prom king, you know, who knows, hey, psh, boy, you know how I used to look. You know how I am. You know who I was. And all that tremendous success and accolade is in the distant past. And right now, even the newbies, even the ones who just went in the Super Bowl here, like the L.A. Rams just won a Super Bowl, whatever, you know, a couple years ago. Like teams like that, that don't even have the organizational success of the Cowboys, could take a shot at the Cowboys. And the Cowboys got to take that shot. It's crazy, right? Instead of reminding everybody, only one franchise out there got more chips, right? 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 Well, it's the Patriots. Other than that, it's the Cowboys and Steelers, right? Five. Instead of flexing, like, boy, I'm a triple OG. You better shut up, little fan base, little organizations. One ring, you know, like Tampa Bay or something. But since they're so far in the past, everybody gets shots at them, and they land. They land. I know Cowboys fan. I was a Cowboy. Plus, it's just, I know media. I know how it goes. If they didn't react like they react, it wouldn't be like that. The Lakers were starting to feel that way. The Lakers were getting that way. You remember that, right? They had their droughts in the 90s, in the mid-90s. They had their droughts in the mid-2000s, late 2000s. Then Kobe went and got two more. Then they had their droughts again in the teens. And then LeBron came and got one more. Whoo, thank God LeBron got that one, because they would really be close to them Cowboys now. You can just see it. It's like, it's weird. The teams that don't win Super Bowls or win one, all of them, get to shoot at everybody else who already won one or more, but they won them a long time ago. Now, shut up with your old ass. Prom king, prom queen. Nobody want to hear you prom king, prom queen when we 24, right? When we 28 at the 10-year reunion. Like, oh, that was cute. Yeah, yeah. I ain't been checking on you since that. Oh, yeah, you look different. Like, it's crazy. Cowboys suffer like that. And so all those young producers I told you about, right? They come in and they just force feed you Cowboys because they get such a reaction from that enormous fan base that still feels like, hey, y'all stop messing with us. You know? It's funny because, you know, let's go into some movies like Triple OG. Y'all remember AWACS and Menace, right? What did he say? What they say about him? Man, he did so much dirt that he just likes seeing the young homies do it now. He don't do nothing. AWACS one time at the burger scene, at the burger place, at the end. Come on, fools. Come on, fool. That's it. He shot one. But the point is, like, triple OG status, they supposed to be just sitting back like I'm good. And the Cowboys fan base don't feel like they good. They let everybody else say, how many years has it been now? 26, 27, 28? Yeah, fool. How many has it been for you? Oh, you just won one? How many you won? Oh, that's it. And that bing, 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 bing. Dun, 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 dun. You got to hit them with that. But they don't. So them young producers force feed it because they know always going to get that reaction, right? And look, it's lazy. It's simple. But y'all keep falling for the same trick. So when people get tired of the Cowboys coverage, always look in the mirror because you're the reason there's so much Cowboys coverage. That's it. Now, it don't have to always be negative. That's another conversation. And that's what Micah is talking about. We know they're going to react. So Acho did something that is called the omission of guilt. That's when you know you hiding something and you do it on purpose because you're playing on the ignorance of others. Now, there are times when you are ignorant too. Like Acho may be like, oh, I didn't even think about the fact that they are missing players too. Oh, they're missing Nick Chubb. Oh, they're missing Deshaun Watson. Maybe he just didn't get to it, or he didn't get to talk about it, or maybe he just forgot about it, whatever. But there is a conscious way of doing that called omission of guilt. And it's a trick. You leave out the conversation when I'm making my point. I leave out something that could hurt my argument on purpose because I'm playing on your ignorance. I'm playing on the fact that you don't know any better or you won't even notice. They do that too. They do that to y'all all the time. They do that to the fans all the time. Like, because a lot of times fans go to these media people and media sources. You come to me, whatever, and you trust what we're saying. And without fact checking, you may be just trusting one side of it. My grandma used to clown people like that, crown things like that, right? She used to say, what'd she say? It's like you're waving with one hand. No, she used to say you're rubbing with one hand and slapping with the other. Yeah, she'd be like, you're rubbing me with one hand and slapping me with the other. And it's true. You're like, look, 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 bow, book, bow, wow. That's how it goes. So a little trick right there by Acho, maybe intentional, maybe not, but that is one of the things that we can do. So have y'all listened to, have y'all seen Micah's podcast? And tell me, how is it? I need y'all to beat that up in the comments, because this negative coverage of the Cowboys, me, I'm not the one. You know me. This is how I deal with negativity. I only add up those with me, not against me. I wouldn't be the player giving more energy to that y'all being negative about me, because you just showed them that it gets to you. So therefore, let's keep getting. When you playing the Joneses, when you joking somebody out, what? There's only two scoreboards. How loud everybody else is laughing and how it's affecting who you joking on. If they sitting there Teflon, you only got one scoreboard left. Are they laughing? So there's ratings, and there's also how you feel and respond. Did he get to you, Micah, y'all, Cowboys fans, with his negativity? And now you responding to the negativity. Y'all know how it goes in math. The equation, once it has negative in it, multiplied into it, it's all negative. Feeds itself, right? It's crazy. So if I'm Micah, I'm just like, dog, ball, 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 talk it up. But hey, doing a podcast, trying to be interesting, not mad really at it. What do we think of Dak, though? Let's talk about Dak for real. I thought that was an all right game for Dak. Not the best. I still don't see the trust level where it needs to be. And I don't see them trusting him with his arm talent as much as they should, but needs to do it. And what y'all think just in general, because this kind of merges what we're talking about with Bill Simmons and this new media space and access for all NFL players with podcasts, is different than when I was playing, and I like it. Do you guys like it? Beat that up in the comments. Oh, this one right here. If y'all catalog all these songs I'm coming into, that'd be a hype ass and 80s, early 90s party, right? You know why? Because they're coming. Isn't it? I remember that. Preston Austin, the South Side Five-Star Preston. Alec Buckshot. They cursed so many times I couldn't say any of the words. It literally says, check your rhyme. What did it say right here? It said, check your rhyme, punk that ass, or get got F it. That scenario remix. I mean, everybody like, what's the scenario? Yo, Bo knows this, what? And Bo knows that. What? Yeah, yeah, we hype, we know it. But when they came out with the remix, I was like, shit. All right, y'all. Go to projecttransition.org, log on, leave a donation for the foundation to help our situation in the creation of the elation. Or the adoration of the situation for these little kids, man. Hook them up. All right, what's the bonus topic? While I get into it. All right, let's talk about Senator from West Virginia, Joe Manchin. All right, he expressed concerns about college athletes becoming multimillionaires as freshmen and sophomores, suggesting it's challenging to support them. I said it. He basically like, they too rich to even want to support. They're getting too much money. Why should I support them? All right. Here's this quote. It's hard to root for the kids when they're multimillionaires as freshmen and sophomores. Is it? I support coaches. I love Nick Saban. Every time Nick Saban shows up in that Mercedes on Dayton's, you see him? He got a Mercedes on Dayton's, for real, on Dana's. Be at his lake house. I support him. I know he make more than everybody in that state. Public service. I support pro athletes. I know how much they make. Shoot. You don't think I'd be like, go Jason Tatum. Go Jaylen Brown. Go LeBron. Like, money, that's why you don't support him. Thinly veiled. Thinly veiled when you got something else to say, but you just don't say it. All right, so they had a Senate Judiciary Committee. I ain't going to bore y'all. As soon as y'all hear that, y'all like, boring. Charlie Baker was there, NCAA president. I got to get that out. Big Ten commissioner. They all talking about NIL rights. Right. And they lobbying left. They lobbying right. They lobbying all of it. But here's one quote that came out of it from President Charlie Baker. I think Division II and Division III schools will get out of college sports. Be careful. All I want you to do, guys, is just monitor what's going on, because there's a lot of wordplay that's trying to change what just changed in terms of NIL deals. Now, there was a layer to this where you're thinking race and class had to get intertwined, and we're talking through it, right? Because the big sports, we're talking football, we're talking basketball, make the money. We're talking that's where the black players are largely. And we're talking about why they were so late to the conversation in terms of making their NIL money and having their professional opportunities, right? Because I know I went to school with baseball players. You be in class with a baseball player. You're like, what's up, boy? All right, nice to meet you. What's your name? Jonathan. All right, Marcellus. All right, man. Yeah, y'all already started up, huh? I'm like, yeah, we had it. Yeah. What y'all doing? Oh, we just got off season, spring training stuff. You're like, all right, cool. I'll see you around, man. We connect sometime. Cool. Come back to class next day. Hey, where Jonathan at? Oh, man, he got called up. Called up? What do you mean? He out. He sucker that went to the minors. He ain't got finished school. You do, Wiley. You do. Not him. Having baseball players, golfers, cats be committing in golf, go out there and win one damn tournament. They went to West Side LA Open off Slauson. They went to West Side LA off Slauson Open. What happened to Frederick? Oh, man, he gone. Making that money. Oh, I got to stay. I told y'all my Lauryn Hill story. We used to freestyle on the phone. That was a homie. Calling her, she calling me. You remember, this back, we had no cell phone, so you better be in that dorm. Pick up the dorm. What's up? Hey, what you doing? Nothing. What you up to? Nothing. Got this party this weekend. For real? Where your party at? Jersey. Oh, I ain't going. You never want to leave campus. Damn right, because I'm winning up here. I got everybody on campus fooled, girl. Left L.A. You think I'm going to go out to Jersey to your house party and get shot up? Nope, not going. What else up? Nothing. We working on these tracks. Why y'all still working on the tracks? When you going to come out with the album? It's coming out. Don't worry. All right, cool. All right, holla. Call back. Hey, tell me what you think of this one. Go. She busts one. I'm like, oh, dope. What do you think of this one? Boy, that's whack. All right. She right. I just made it up. You actually wrote it down. So anyway, she do her first album. It does. Come back to school. She's still there. What's up? Oh, that was cool. They remixed that last single. I forget the name of it, too. Anticipation for the next album. They dropped that second album. Lauryn. Heal. Come back, man. Gone. Make her money. My ass sitting up in there still. Wonder if she gonna call me. I got a freestyle. This one better. Game. That's how the game go, dog. It's real. So them senators up there talking like that. Why y'all got restrictions over here? And ain't got no restrictions over there. So let's be real. Because if D2 and D3 goes, woo! That's a lot of our kids. That's a lot of collegiate athletes not going to have an opportunity if we don't address this situation. And I want y'all to take a dive on your own terms, because I understand I can't give you the medicine in this broccoli. And this is broccoli. But take notice of what the NIL is doing in terms of what they're doing at this judiciary committee. All right, y'all. Time to funk up some comments. I wish we had Instagram when I used to talk to Lauryn Hill and freestyle. Because I know I would have put one on the damn. You imagine if I got a clip of me out freestyling Lauryn Hill? Whew, That would have been dope. All right, here we go. Let's talk about Skip from yesterday. Damn, Marcellus, you stepped to Skip like that? Damn right I did. I stepped to anybody like that. What you going to do? Beat me up? How come Jalen Rose had to apologize to Skip? Oh, interesting. Good question. I know it's... Oh, that's weak. Oh, I just thought about it. Oh. Why you ask this question? That happened 10 years ago. I never thought about this. Skip be calling everybody a nickname, and he got called Water Pistol Pete Water Pistol Skip or Water Pistol Pete? Yeah. And had to apologize for calling them that. It had, tell me, please, somebody help me. Beat it up in the comments. Why did Jalen apologize? I would literally be like, excuse me, hey, boss, oh, whoever it was back then, Bodenheimer, I don't know, Skipper. Hey, come on, hey, Skipper. I know Skip name is in your name, Skipper. But why am I apologizing to do this all day? I just return fire. Ooh, that's interesting. Good comment. I never name call is and always has been a wild take by Skip considering the thing he says. Yeah, that's why I'm saying own it. I got salute for you, even though I don't respect what you're doing. Salute for you. But you be like, nah, I don't call him any names. I just call him Cal needed, should have been a bowler, which is a good. Look, the nicknames are dope. They fresh. They funny. But they ain't right. It's a reason to call, what, a reason to call an old lady something. It's a reason to push an old lady down the stairs, too. Just don't do it. All right. I've always hated the culture of name-calling athletes, especially when it's done, being done by people who don't play. I ain't gonna lie. That gets me a little more extra, like, oh. Nah, I can't lie, because when Ryan Clark did it, I was like, dog, you played, and you doing that? That's weak. That's lazy. But when they do it, like the ones who didn't play, I'm like, that's sorry. But that's the only trick, I always say. So I don't know. Problem is that Skip, Stephen A., Jim Rohn, Rob Parker, god dang, Cowherd, and now Nick Wright found a way to talk about sports the way fans do in the barbershop. Oh, interesting. Where people feel free saying, he's a bum, and venting like we the fans own the athlete's performance as if their effort is something that's owed to us, and in return for paying for our ticket, we get to dehumanize them. Ooh, you dropping gems. That's always irked me to no end. Say, talk your talk. You can't blame Skip and Stephen A. entirely if they're following our lead and giving the people what they want. But it's amazing that guys in that position are so thin-skinned. It's not surprising at all that they dish it out all day, but they are lacking in self-awareness that they recoil when any of that same energy is pointed back at them. Kudos to Kwame. For real. On the flip, am I the only person naive enough to think that Skip, Key, and Sherm can all learn from one another and forge a new way to talk about sports? Man, I hope so. Oh, man, that's a great comment. It was worth all the time it took to read it. When I was growing up, the bullies, the gangsters, never scared me to my core. Now, I had to navigate around them to make sure I stayed safe. So that could make me look like a punk. I'm walking over here because he over there. I don't know. He got that thing going on. I ain't tripping. I'm going home. But they never scared me. Because I like, hurt people, and on top of that, you soft at the core, fool. That's why you're out here trying to ride on everybody. You trying to strike first because you don't want me to strike back, and you don't want me to strike first. I always thought that way, whether I was right or wrong. I was like, I ain't scared of them. Just ain't going to fuck with them. When I see cats up here with the stuff that they say, and then when a little of it comes back and boomerangs, you ain't going to make an enemy of me. You don't want to make... Y'all need to stop playing. Like, it's just laughable. Like, and I wish I played right now because I know how I am. I showed y'all the clip 10, 15 years ago, me just going at Skip like, what? I don't play like that, dog. And if I were playing and I would have known somebody was coming at me, I would have went on their show and lit their ass up like Jalen Rose did and didn't apologize. And I wouldn't have. LBJ been giving up something to talk about for more than 21 plus years. He deserves to sit on the sideline and out during and pig out during a preseason game. How long do we want athletes and entertainers to be inhuman? Yeah, I had no problem with him eating. And Michael Cooper really didn't either. He was laughing tongue in cheek. It was just all love. All the best love and support to T.O. from India, the best wide receiver ever who was blackballed by the establishment. Yeah, T.O. got a weird legacy. T.O. needs a documentary, like a whale, 30 for 30. Does he have one? They did T.O. wrong. T.O. should be much more respected and well-regarded and highly thought of than he is. I just know him, and I know how he played. I remember our D coordinators like, okay, guys, this guy right here, 81, it's going to be a problem. Why, coach? Because he runs every damn route hard and well. That's it? Oh, no. The problem starts once he gets the ball. Getting the ball, he gonna do that. That ain't the problem. The problem starts is when he gets the ball. The sucker runs angry. The sucker runs like no one else matters. That's the problem. Since you want to talk so much, why are you here for shit? Coaches be snapping. I'm like, dude, first of all, you need me right now, so you need to calm down, coach. Second of all, why are you so damn hot? It's Wednesday. We ain't playing them the Sunday. And then I'm not going to lie. We played T.O. that week on that Sunday. Sucker caught one for like 70. And everybody stopped for one reason. One, coach was right, but that ain't the reason. What are you about to do? That sucker, I don't know what dance he did, but we were like T.O. got to that level like with Deion kind of. With us, like, you got to respect him. You be watching, like, what are you going to do? Deion had us all just mesmerized when we played against Deion. Like, that's Deion Sanders. We didn't do that to T.O., but when he did something, you'd be like, what do you do? What do you do? I remember jogging. I remember because they score on us, so I got to run, like, 50 yards down there. And I'm like, what are you doing? I was like, damn, this bug. He was silly. Best wide receiver ever. I said it. I will have to disagree with what you said about the cost of being you. Certain behavior might be rewarded to fit a narrative or an agenda, but upstanding and inspiring the next generation offers a better reward. True. That is what you are doing. Aw. I am training to be a physician and watch your show on my breaks from time to time. It is refreshing. You are inspiring me to be better for myself and my future patients. No amount of money can measure the impact of elevating the human soul, which is what you're doing. Money comes and goes, but people that stood the test of time were doing the right thing at the right time, even if it wasn't popular. Keep being you. Oh, that hit the heart. That was like some chicken noodle soup right there. That felt good to hear. Here it is. I disagree with you disagreeing with me. I never said me, the person. I was saying me as far as being the worker in those industries. Me being the co-host, not me the person. Me the persona, if I should say. And that's just like you at your job. Like, you are different than you, the physician, right? You may know at your job as being a physician, hey, we trying that risky new vaccination. You gonna try it with us? I mean, not everybody's on board with it, but we are. And you may be like, no, I'm good. And you're like, oh, you know where the incentives are taking it. I know how they sell to the medical people, the medical technicians and stuff. Hey, we got this new one. We got this new equipment. And then some of that would be like, eh, I'm good. There was an energy that told me, Marcellus, if you go with the wave of talking, because, you know, me, if you go with the wave of talking trash about people, oh, they can't mess with you, Wiley. Now, I don't want that wave. All right, well. Here's some paddles. Good luck to you. or. And that's all it was. But I, come on, man. I ain't going to change me. I just showed you a clip from 15 years ago. I'm the same OG. Same old me. All right, y'all. Y'all know how we finish every show. We finish with a Wiley-ism. Yeah. That's brought to you by BetUS. Why care about things you don't care about? Simple as that. Take this the right way. I hear this a lot. I don't even care. Man, I don't like that, but. I don't like that, but. I don't like them, but. This is how I stay out of smoke. This is how I stay out of a lot of problems, for real. And that's why I can say what I'm going to say, and ain't nobody going to say nothing back. And that's why I can say what I'm going to say, do what I want to do, go where I want to go, ain't nobody going to do nothing until they do, right? But for real, it's because, dog, one thing about me is I don't care about nothing I don't care about. I don't. Like, literally, people be coming up to me with, hey, man, you hear about that? I'm like, nah. Oh, man, check this out. I'm like, dog, I don't really care about that. Oh, I know, I don't mean either, but what the fuck you just, why we, you don't care, you know I don't care. Why are we going to talk about something we don't care about? Why are we wasting all this good energy and time? All I got is time, man. Come on, bro. Like, it's a lot of stuff I do care about, but the stuff I don't care about that. Wasting my time. Like, talking about, that's like running backwards. Talking about, man, how many yards you gained? Fool, I ain't even ran forward yet. I ain't did nothing positive, nothing I care about. I'm doing all the stuff I don't care about. Watch it. See, this is my spidey sense. This is my superpower. I'm very mindful. I'm listening. I'm like, I listen a lot. I talk a lot, but I listen more. I'll be listening. I get on calls with people. I let them talk for 30 minutes. I don't care. I'm listening to everything you said. And then when you're done, I'm still going to say what I got to say. Oh, it don't matter. I'm going to say something. And I'll be like, wait a minute, what you talking about, Willis? And I just try to stay out the way, man. I grew up around too much damn craziness to now still want and attract craziness. Like, that's the something that happened to me in school, and it happened to me in the real world. When I saw people liking smoke, liking craziness, liking static, I knew they didn't grow up around no damn problems like me. And I dare to say not enough problems. Because once you grow up around problems, you don't want no problems. All these rappers be talking about, yeah. I be like, man, shut your fake ass up. All of them. Don't invite me to your studio. I'm not coming. You fake. And if you're really about that, I'm definitely not coming because something going to happen to your ass because you're really about that life. Stay away from me, man. Miss me. Talking. If you 27, 30, 40 years old still, what's up? What's up? Woof, woof. Who you faking for? More importantly, man, I'm good. All right, over here, homie. Holler at me when you just want to go get a burger or one of them red drink bourbons from Steak 48. They good. All right, so just remember this. Check your friends. Check yourself. Why care about things you don't care about?
All right, y'all. That'll do it for More To It. Check the show notes for all the information on our topics today. Today! Want to keep the conversation going? Let's talk. Find me on all socials at Marcellus Wiley. More Too is a production of Dan Patrick Productions, Dad Dude Entertainment, and Workhouse Media. The show is executive produced by Dan Patrick, Marcellus Wiley, Paul Anderson, and Nick Pinella. Thanks for all the love, ratings, and subscriptions, and reviews, membership to Wiley's World on YouTube. Keep it coming, because there's more coming from More To It. Talk to y'all hella soon.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.